She's kind of a serious soul. She's not as jovial as I am, but she laughs when she's talking to me. Anyway, I wanted to start this also praying, but I'm going to read this. The Lord just gave this to me. It is Psalm 119, 1. If you are having a problem anywhere in your life, you can read Psalm 119 and find the answer. And, of course, the answer is the Word. So, but you have to read the Word with an anointing of the Holy Spirit on it so that you can hear the revelation of what He's saying to you specifically from that Word. But this is the Amplified. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied. That's pretty good. Are the undefiled, the upright, truly sincere, and blameless in the way of the revealed will of God, who walk, order their conversation and conduct in the law of the Lord, the whole of God's revealed will. I just want to assure you that the Lord has poured himself all over me in this message, and I hope to God that I'm able to share it without totally being a puddle, because I puddled through the entire message. I asked the Lord to anoint me, and he did what I shared in the worship. I said, I cannot stand up in front of your people and share anything unless your anointing is on me, because I don't want to speak my words, I want to speak your words. So he did immediately pour his oil into my hand and overflowed. And the whole time that I was preparing this message, he kept pouring that oil into me. So I'm pretty oily right now. But I have an expectation that this message is very specific for us, or at RCF, where we are right now, and for each soul across Long Island, across New York, and across America. Because we are absolutely on a threshold. I want to talk about Joshua. That's really what the Lord told me. And the biggest problem I had was there's just so much pertinent to Joshua's life and everything that happened to him and the way that he followed God and the way that he followed Moses, that it was very difficult for me to bring it down to what it was specifically that God wanted me to share. But I think throughout the message, if you listen with the Spirit's ear, you'll hear who Joshua was and what the qualities and the character of his life was. And that's basically what I want you to focus on in this message. Now, he was tutored by Moses. He was Moses' assistant. When Moses took him, he was Joshua, the son of Nun. I think it's kind of funny that his father's name was Nun, because we have to become Nun, don't we, in order to God to become all. But he changed his name. Moses changed his name. He had another name, which I didn't even look up. But if you really want to read and study this, it will take you a long time to really come into understanding everything that God has to say about Joshua. And in each book of the Old and the New Testaments, there are just such powerful truths that we can hold on to for our own lives and receive encouragement. And that was one of the things that Moses said to Joshua, and one of the things that the Lord said to Joshua, to be strong and of good courage. He also told him to meditate in the Lord day and night. Pastor Roy's been talking about meditation and contemplation and giving you the tools that you need. But the tools don't work if you don't use them. Joshua was a man who, when Moses went out to the tent of meeting while they were in the wilderness, and he had built the tabernacle in the tent, Moses would go there and meet with God every day, and God would speak to Moses, and then Moses would leave, and Joshua would stay. He just loved the presence of God, and he would remain in the tent with the Lord. So he had a very intimate communion and relationship with the Lord, and he heard from God very clearly, and he was able to differentiate God's voice from all the other voices, because he spent so much time with him. One of the things I'm going to share, this is funny. Nancy's husband, David, was a carpenter. And he recommended me many years ago when we were at Pinecrest Retreat Center, this book called Remarkable Miracles. I think I shared it with a few of you. I'm not sure, but I still have the book, and I read it a number of times. Pastor Roy read it also. We talked about it this morning. So I mentioned to her that that's one of the things that I remembered about her husband. He always had a big, happy, joy smile. He was more happy and joyful, more like me. And she was the more serious one. You know, sometimes we have, as spouses, we are opposite. But I read that book, and it was about a guy who so dedicated his life to the Lord that he would go out, he would follow the Holy Spirit, and he would lay down in a log in the woods outside of the place where he was supposed to preach. And he would just stay in that log until he heard from God very clearly what he was going to do. And I think Joshua was kind of like that. He really waited on God. Moses waited on God, waited to hear what the Lord had to say. Well, this man would lay out in this log, and the squirrels would come and give him acorns to eat. So he would lay out there like for days and days and weeks until he heard and had an absolute knowing of what he was supposed to do. And we want to come into that place of knowing, because that's where our confidence comes from. Our confidence comes from that we heard the voice of God. Bob said, I heard God. He said, be anxious for nothing. Because he heard from God, he was able to continue, even though his wonderful wife was discouraging him. But, you know, sometimes somebody will speak when you are in the midst of something and you need to continue to hear the voice of the Lord, nothing against you. But we need to say, oh, God said this to me. And you need to say that out loud. Say no to the voice of the enemy or the voice of doubt. You know, we need to say no to doubt. And I remember when the Lord gave me such a revelation, and I know I taught you the song, Doubt, You Gotta Get Out. But I still sing that song to the doubt that still comes into my being at times. But I stay with the Lord until I have heard, and then I stand in faith. You know, I am always encouraging people to rise up, always encouraging it. And I was reading a book the other day, and I realized that it is my new creation that's rising up, but it's my faith. It's my faith that has to rise up and get into the place in the spirit realm where God is, that we can have that bond together, and I can hear him, and he can hear me, and I can cry or sing or whatever I want to do, and he can listen, because he does. Anyway, he was a man, Joshua. If anything, you want to know anything about Joshua, he was a man who displayed the promises of God coming true. He led the Israelites out of the wilderness and into the promised land. That's what Joshua did. Moses died at the end of their wilderness experience, the Israelites, 40 years. He died along with all of the older, unbelieving members of the tribes. And Joshua, and Moses said, all right, I'm going to read some of the scriptures, but Moses already knew that Joshua was going to be his predecessor. So he was able to groom him for what was coming. And Joshua was a very willing and obedient student. One of the things that he was very obedient. And obedience is very important. When you hear the word of the Lord, you need to obey what he tells you, even if it doesn't make sense. I remember talking to Sarah a couple weeks ago, and I said, if your children can't obey you, how will they obey the Lord that's invisible, that they can't see? They have to learn obedience. You learn obedience as a child with your parents, to do things maybe that you may not want to do, of course, or that may not make any sense to you. And hopefully as you continue to grow and learn, you will understand that there are reasons why your parents told you to do certain things and not to do other things. So we have to do that with the Lord. Joshua was with Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai. It's interesting that Joshua thought that the sound, if you remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, the children of Israel were waiting at the bottom of the mountain. They didn't want to go up the mountain. They did have an invitation. But they said, no, you go up to the mountain. So while he was up there for a long time, they got disturbed and they got anxious and they got, oh my goodness, where's Moses and where's God? So they grabbed Aaron, unfortunately. Sure, he had a little character flaw there. But they asked him to make them a golden calf. So he did. He made them a golden calf. They took all their jewels and Mary made this golden calf and they danced around and worshiped the calf. How many of us have worshiped golden calves along the road? I know I have. And I repented and there was nobody around to make the golden calf. I made it myself. But, you know, God is a God of forgiveness. And anyway, Moses came down. Joshua met him at the bottom of the mountain, and Moses said, and Joshua said, "Oh, I hear a war cry, dancing in war." And Moses said, "No, that's not a war cry. That's idolatry." See, because at that point, Joshua and Moses had a different ear that was tuned. Joshua was not fine-tuned to the Lord, so he thought he misconstrued what he was hearing. So he had to learn a little bit more from his mentor, Moses. If you realize and think about the entire Old Testament is about the Israelites being led out of Egypt and being set free from bondage. And the entire New Testament is about us, the church, being led out of bondage. Jesus is the one who leads us out of bondage. In the Old Testament, Joshua was the one that led them into the Promised Land. He led them into the Promised Land. He taught them. He gave them their inheritance. He showed them how to receive their inheritance. He delivered their inheritance. He distributed the inheritance. He helped them go in to the Promised Land. Jesus is the one who paid the price, but he is also, through the Holy Spirit, which is, makes it so important that we have to hear the Holy Spirit, is the one that led them into where they needed to be, where we need to be. And that's what the New Testament is all about, our deliverance and us coming into the Promised Land. What is our Promised Land? It's the kingdom of God. And it doesn't look the same for everybody. And for the children of Israel, it didn't look the same for everybody too. They had different towns, had different places that they lived. But we need to know that we have an inheritance in God and we have to take it. We have to grab a hold of it and walk in it and ask the Lord how to appropriate it into our lives. Because he paid for it, didn't he? Well, there they were dancing around the golden calf and Moses was very annoyed and he ended up, you know, losing his temper and throwing down the Ten Commandments and smashing them. Okay. Anyway. He also, and this is one of the beautiful qualities of Joshua, he interceded for the children of Israel. He prayed for them. God was going to destroy them and just take Moses and carry on the inheritance through Moses. And Moses cried out for grace and mercy and said, "No, don't do that." So God changed his mind. You know what that says to me? God can change his mind. Even though I believe that he already foreknew what was going to happen. He did hear Moses' cry. He heard Abraham's cry when he cried out and rescued his son. Lot was his son, yes? He rescued Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. And it wasn't because Lot was a holy man. It was because Abraham prayed for him. So there's a lot of keys in here that we can go before the throne room of God and pray for those in the midst of us who may not be quite following the Lord the way that we desire them to, because we can pray and God will answer those prayers. So that's Exodus 32:12-14. So Joshua was watching, wasn't he? Joshua remaining in the tent is in Exodus 33:11. Joshua learned faithful meditation on God's word and faithful obedience to his commands. He learned that they were the key to blessing and abundance. He believed in God's promise. Deuteronomy 7:1 says, and in Deuteronomy talks a lot about the exile out of Egypt and all their time in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 7:1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, And when the Lord God delivers them before you, and you defeat them, do you hear that? Then you shall utterly destroy them, and you shall make no covenant with them and show them no favor. Deuteronomy 31:3 says, it is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He's speaking to Joshua. He will destroy these nations, seven nations. Seven is a very holy number. It's a number of completion. It's the foundation of the word of God, seven. So the fact that there's seven enemies, I mean, Pastor Roy has done a study on the seven enemies and shared it with you. So you, if you want to go back and look that up or you want to Google, it's wonderful sometimes to maybe know who it is and what it is that you're fighting. Because each one of us in our own individual walk has to come against these seven nations. Deuteronomy 31:3. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. So he destroys it, but you shall dispossess them. You have to tell them to get off your land. You have to tell them to get out of your life. God has already given us the authority over it, over everything. But you and I are the ones that have to say, no. No, I'm not going to engage in this thinking. No, I'm not going to engage in this sin. No, I'm not going to do this. No, I'm not going to act in this manner. No, I'm going to stay away from this place, whatever it happens to be. Joshua, in Deuteronomy 31:3, it says, Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. So it was from the hand of God and the mouth of God that Joshua was to succeed Moses. So he was the appointed one. In the book of Deuteronomy, it is recorded, Moses to Joshua, Deuteronomy 31:7-23. Here it is. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore them, and I will be with you. And here in Joshua 1:6-9, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Strong, strong and good courage. That word strong in the Greek is chazak, strong, courageous, valiant, manly, established, firm, womanly, no, firm, fortified, obstinate. Oh, I was like obstinate, but I guess you need to be obstinate against the enemy. Mighty, strengthened by Yahweh. This is the word for us today also. In Ephesians 6, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It explains and gives us what we need, the armor, to stand against our enemies. Our enemies are not always outside. Sometimes they're us. It's our emotions, our dreams, our disappointments, all of these things. They have to be brought before the king and the altar and say, Lord, what do you have for me? Because we could really get messed up if we think that we are the ones that know what we need. The work of the cross is a daily thing. It happens every day. Every day we have to come before the Lord and ask him for help. Help. The Lord spoke something to me. Friday night we had the women's meeting and we were reading this book by Benny Johnson about intercession, which I happen to love because it's called The Happy Intercessor. And most of the books I've read about intercession are not happy. So it's nice. When I read the book, I said, oh, this is good. And I read it a few times, and now we're doing it. Gail and Lori felt that it was a good topic and subject. So But one of the things, you know, the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. They were real people, things that happened to real people. But for us, they're not just tales, they're truths. But for us, they are types and shadows because we're New Testament people. We believe in the power and the strength, the resurrection life of the living Christ. So I was praying and pondering about that and on the way to Gail's and just thinking about, you know, types and shadows. Because we understand things. Well, when I sat down, on the way, almost I was almost there, then I missed her house. And I missed the tree. I went by and came back again. So I was a little late, but I don't care about that anymore. Whatever, I got there before we started, so that was the most important thing. But the Holy Spirit said something to me in my heart. See, when God speaks to you, Bob, then you can go on because he's heard, you've heard something. What he said to me was, if there's no substance, there's no shadow. So in the Old Testament, there's lots of substance. There's lots of realities of how God delivered his people and how he stayed with them and how he ministered to them. I mean, I live in the Psalms. I live there. I'm actually having something happen that's been a long time coming. I did make one CD, actually Joanna was on it, with the three songs, Song of Rejoicing. But I felt after the last retreat that I was to record my music. So I started to pray towards it and ask the Lord for help. And he gave me somebody to record it. He supplied the money. My son is going to set it up in this band camp venue. Jonathan helped me transpose the songs to, you know, readable. Just so many things. I'm learning so much. But I have two EPs coming out soon that will be available on Bandcamp. And I'm also putting Song of Rejoicing, Songs of Rejoicing on there too. And also this other tape cassette that I have of kids' songs that I wrote a million years ago when I was teaching preschool. But it is it's a culmination of a vision that God gave me many, many years ago. And it all is coming at this point, coming to a point. I mean, it's probably going to be out within a couple weeks. And it's a little scary for me because God has always continued to speak to me to be hidden. So I'm not really one, truthfully, to be even standing up here. I had to spend two whole days in the presence of God. But let me tell you that when it's time, it flows and it just goes and it works. So it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing works out. But I'm excited. I was very happy with the way they came out. I'm very blessed to have Joanna here because she became a disciple of mine totally by the Spirit of God. So it has been a privilege, and also to release her to City Light. I know that Sean and Sarah are taking good care of her, so I appreciate that. But the gentleman that recorded my songs is Henry Esposito's son. I called Henry Esposito, so there was another reconnection with somebody that we raised and trained up in the faith. Henry said that after 15 years, he realized that he learned everything from us, which is humbling sometimes for somebody to repeat that. But it's good. It was good to be with them again and to see Stephen. I haven't seen Stephen since he was, you know, this little peanut. And he's a grown man now, 25 years old, and he did a wonderful job. And we just had such a time in the spirit realm in the studio that he created. It was just a gift. And he knew me and didn't know me, so it was kind of funny. Even some of the mechanics of what he ended up doing were absolutely led by the Spirit of God. So I just am grateful. I'm just grateful to God. He's wonderful. He's a wonderful God. So we want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We want to be that Shazak. And we want to be that in every part of our lives. So if there's areas, one of those seven nations that might be giving you trouble, don't be troubled about it. Just say, okay, you see this, God? Help me. I need help. I can't tell you. I have told you, and I'll tell you again. how God has been so faithful to me in so many ways, over and over. But it starts from help. Starts from help. And he comes, and he gives you the strength that you need to get through whatever it is that you need to overcome. Pastor Roy loved that song, Overcome. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to work it up for Sunday. And I tell you, it just kept ringing in my spirit. Thank God it was a simple song. It wasn't too complicated. But I told him on Saturday morning, we have to do this song. Because the message of Joshua is overcome. He's an overcomer. He led the children of Israel into their promised land. So we have to also remember that Jesus bought and paid the price for us to go into our promised land, which is the kingdom, into freedom and liberty, and remain there. The Holy Spirit was Joshua's friend and spoke to him very clearly. Joshua received specific instructions on how to step into the promised land. Jesus trained his disciples, specifically giving them instruction on how to walk in the kingdom. He didn't do it for them, did he? He left and said, I'm leaving, but it's good for me to go because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our best friend, isn't he? God spoke to Joshua and told him exactly what to do when he came out of the wilderness. And they waited in Gilgal. He told them exactly what to do. He gave him instructions. And then, right before, now I know that Joshua was waiting on the Lord. Right before, he was thinking, oh, I think I have to go in to Jericho. How are we going to do this? He sent two spies. It's funny because Joshua was one of the spies that had a good report when he came back, remember? From the promised land. He was one of the first spies, and one that had Joshua and Caleb had the good report. The two spies went into Jericho, and they met this woman named Rahab, who was a prostitute. She was a harlot. Rahab, now you got to realize, I didn't talk about this too much, but when Joshua heard from God how to cross the River Jordan to get into Jericho, he heard very specifically from the Lord what to do. And the priests from each tribe stood in the River Jordan, and it opened up, and the entire nation of Israel walked across it. And when they got to the other side, each tribe, whoever the priest was in the tribe, had to take a stone on his shoulder and bring it and set it up as a memorial. Some of us, maybe we need to make a memorial and a remembrance for what God has done. Maybe we have forgotten because we're in a valley here. But God instructed Joshua exactly how to get out and go through the river, and also told him to set up a memorial, which he did. So there's a place that's still there in Gilgal. There's 12 stones. Now, think about all of the nations there, all of these seven nations that are our enemies, all of the people in Jericho hearing about the children of Israel and how the sea opened up and they came across. And who did that for them? It was their God. Joshua did not get any credit for that. God did. So they were frightened. They were trembling. They were afraid. So when the spies came in to see Jericho and see what was going on, Rahab said, we heard about you, and we know that God's going to give you this property, so let me help you. So she did. When they came, they found out that there were these two spies in Jericho, the army in Jericho, and they went after them. They knew that Rahab had seen them, so Rahab hid them. And she didn't have to do that, but she did. She hid them, and then after they left, she sent them the wrong way, the soldiers, and then after they left, she said, this is the way you do, and this is what you can do. Now, she didn't know God, but she heard from God. Gave them instruction on how to be free and how to be saved, and then she said, you have to do something for me. You have to save my family. When you come and destroy Jericho, you have to save my family. So these two spies said, okay, you hang a scarlet rope out of your window, which is symbolic of God's protection. So sometimes we get nervous, even what's happening in the country is a little nerve-wracking, but we have a scarlet thread, don't we? We have the blood of Jesus that will set us free and keep us and help us. So the only family that lived and survived when Joshua did lead them to destroy Jericho was Rahab's family. And it was because of that cord. It was because she recognized God, even not knowing him. So there are people around us, right, that recognize God even though they don't know him. So you need to keep praying for them, because then there's a time that the blood will be sufficient and they will be saved. This is what happened. Joshua 5, 13 to 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes, and behold, a man, capital M, stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Notice that he wasn't sure, okay? And the man said, no. As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Now Joshua recognized the Lord's voice and his presence. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. And he said to him, the first thing he said, what does my Lord say to my servant? What would you have me do? You know, when you hear what you're supposed to do, you have the confidence, because you have heard from God, to do what it is that he's given you to do. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Joshua also knew when that happened to Moses. Moses was called aside. He made a choice to turn aside when the burning bush appeared in front of him that was not consumed. He did the same thing. He took off his sandal and bowed, because it was a holy ground. When God speaks to us, it's holy ground. We have to continue to cultivate a life of intercession, meditation, reading the word, loving the word, worshiping, contemplating, drawing closer to the Lord. We're not going to make it, and we've been teaching this for 21 years, and this is it. This is the time that we've been training you for, just like Joshua came to that time when he had to cross over the Jordan. God gave him instruction, open the sea. God may have a sea opening for us. Also gave him the instructions on what to do to take over Jericho. All the men of war, Joshua, this is the instruction that God gave him. All the men of war before the priests, the seven priests carrying the seven ram's horn, which is the trumpet, which is the shofar, which is a call to worship. The Ark of the Covenant. Moses set up the Ark of the Covenant while he was in the wilderness, which is the presence of the Lord. They were to walk around Jericho, followed by the rear guard, more warriors, blowing the shofar every day for 7 days. This was the instruction that the Lord gave Joshua while he was in front of the commander of the Lord's armies. The seventh day, they were to march around in the same manner 7 times, blowing the shofar. Joshua told the children of Israel it was very important for them not to speak. Because, if you remember, the people that were in the wilderness were complaining and murmuring. 12 spies were sent out to spy the promised land. Only 2 of them came back with a good report. That means that 10 representatives of the tribes were in unbelief. And because of that, they wandered around for 40 years, and God did not allow them to come into the promised land. He did not bring them around until they were all dead. How many of us know people that are walking around in the dry desert for how many years and don't hear the Lord's voice and don't walk in his ways? There are many. And unfortunately, if they don't come and say yes to Jesus, they will remain dusty, dry, and die. Oh, that's very encouraging. Well, that's why we have to pray. We have to pray. The new group of people that were born in the wilderness were cultivated by Joshua, and they believed, and they were circumcised. Every one of them was circumcised, something that the Lord, it had to do with making a covenant. So we need to be sure that we have made a covenant with the Father, the living God, the Father, the living God. We make that covenant, because that covenant will keep us at a time when maybe we would not be walking with the Lord, if not for the covenant, if not for saying yes to a certain thing. I remember, and I will share this, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I went up in a trance. I was gone. I don't know where I went. The Lord was preparing me for weeks. I was having all kinds of dreams. When it finally happened, I was just gone. I was in worship around the throne. I was worshiping and praising God in ecstatic, holy praise and worship. While I was up there, I made a vow to the Lord that I would not sing anything but his song. I would not sing anything but his word, because I heard the song of the Lord. Not only in my being, I heard it in the spirit. I was in it. I was enveloped in that song. So the songs that people sing, they don't touch me at all. They're like, they're dry, dusty. Now that's not for everybody, but for me, that's why. That's the reason why. Because the song of the Lord was so amazing and so beautiful that all the other songs, that the songs of men don't even, they're not even in the same ballpark. So that's for me. That's what, but see, that's what it is. God speaks to you and God gives you something. Now I can tell you that that vow I made in that trance-like state kept me. There were times that I might have been tempted to go back into the world and sing the world song and play the world song. I am a professional musician. But I did not, because of that vow that I made. And that vow kept me, that promise, in that place. So there's something to say, be said about covenants, you know, that we make. The same thing with a marriage covenant. When you make a marriage covenant, it's a marriage covenant with God. That also kept me in my marriage many times. Well, I made a covenant, Lord. I made a commitment to you. So I'm in this. All in. All in. Right, Roy? All in. So, the seventh day they were to march around in the same manner seven times, blowing the shofar. And at the end of the seventh time, they all shouted under the command of Joshua. Now, Pastor Roy said to everybody to shout. He did not know, I'm sure, because I didn't really talk to him about it. But there was a shout. And the children of Israel shouted. And what happened? That's right. The walls of Jericho fell. The enemy's defense was broken down. So we can take that, can't we? We can shout to the Lord the voice of triumph, and the enemy's walls will be broken down. The number seven is the foundation of God's word. It's the number of completeness and perfection, both physical and spiritual. So there's a reason why God instructed Joshua to do certain things seven times, walk around seven times, 7 days, seven priests, seven ram's horns, around the seven times the last time. Our cooperation with the Holy Spirit is essential to victory. We must listen and heed his voice. There are things that I have done that nobody understands. My husband, maybe. Some of it, but not all of it. It's like, Marie, why are you doing that? I don't know. Because I hear God, and I have to obey him. Because I have no peace. God's told me to do something, and I haven't done it. I have no peace. No, if you think about what happened in Jericho, it was miraculous. It was miraculous that they came out. They walked through the Jordan. It was miraculous that they waited outside. It was miraculous that Joshua had a divine encounter with the living God. The captain of the Lord's armies came and met him and gave him instruction. It was miraculous that he obeyed and followed the laws that God had given him, the instructions, and that they obeyed, and the walls fell down. It was miraculous. There's nothing done in our lives without God's miraculous power, with his Holy Spirit power. I'm just going to end here. I think some of you know this, but because Joanna is here, the Lord spoke very clearly to me that I was supposed to call Joanna and invite her to this conference that I was going to with my friend Lydia. And I didn't want to. Nothing against Joanna, but Lydia is like my really good friend, and I didn't see her that much, and we were going to go there and have a good time and this whole thing. And I said, I don't know if that was really you, Lord, because I really don't know Joanna, and maybe she'll feel uncomfortable, and, you know, it was this whole thing. Well, I went to the conference, and it was a wonderful conference, and Joanna would have loved it. Lydia and I had a great time. This woman named Stacy Campbell was there, who is a woman of the word and a prophetic voice. And when she prophesies, her head goes back and forth. It's just, and she doesn't stop, and she just keeps talking. And sometimes, like, what are you doing? But, you know, that's the way God uses her when he speaks through her. Anyway, at the end of the first meeting, she calls out the name Joanna. And I almost fell into the chair. I said, oh, my God, I totally missed you, Lord. And she said it again. 3 times she called Joanna's name. I said, oh, I totally missed you, Lord. Okay, and she went on. So at the end of the meeting, I went over to her, and I said, you know, I was supposed to bring Joanna here, and I didn't, and I repent. Do you know the word that you had for her? She said, I don't know. I'll have to pray. She said, meet me in the library, you know, in the bookstore. So I met her in the bookstore about 10 minutes later, and she sought the Lord and remembered the word, and she said it to me, and I wrote it down. That's how I became Joanna's spiritual mom. So it was a direct word from the Lord. But see, my disobedience did not stop her from receiving what God had for her, because I repented and I called her up and I said, Joanna, you know, God, and I told her. So we met and we talked, and she had been praying. See, this is what happens when God moves 2 people together. She had been praying for a spiritual mother, somebody to teach her. She was a believer, but not an understanding believer. So we had, you know, a wonderful number of years together. And I feel privileged and blessed. And she's doing really well in God. And I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God. But think about, had I not listened to God, I would have missed all that time with Joanna. And I would have missed the privilege of raising someone up of this. See, I see it as a privilege to raise someone up in this coming generation, because she's going to be a voice, like my children also, with their voices in this generation. And we have to do, we have to speak and declare the things of the Lord to our children and to our spiritual children. If you don't have children, there are people that God puts in your life to speak the words of God to, and to encourage them to follow the Lord, because he is amazing. So we have been able to talk and meet here and there and share on Facebook and send emails and how you doing. And she's had an amazing journey. I must say, she still doesn't see how strong her faith is, but she's learning. She's growing, as we all are, right? A lot of times we look in the mirror and say, who are you? What are you doing? But God. So I'm going to end with a word from the Gospel of John, because I've been in the Old Testament, and you need to hear about Jesus also, even though Joshua means Jesus. So a lot of things are similar things that happened in Joshua's life that happened in Jesus' life as well. And Moses named him. He had a very close relationship with the Lord, having not known the Savior. We have the Savior inside of us, so how much more are we responsible for? John 14, 15 to 17, 20 and 21, 25 to 27. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. This is what he says. If you love me, keep my commands. I know a lot of people say, oh, I love Jesus, but I don't see any evidence of Jesus loving in their lives. they're not obeying his commandments. This is word says very clearly, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them, manifest myself to them, display my glory to them. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So I speak to you the peace of God. And you see how wonderful God is, because in the middle of the worship, my wonderful husband started talking about the peace of God. You see, God knew, the Holy Spirit gave me this word. He knew I was going to end this message with peace. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. It doesn't mean you're never going to be afraid. It doesn't mean you're never going to be confused. It just means that you can get to God and find the peace, because the Advocate, not the adversary, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, your best friend, your comforter. If you study anything about the Holy Spirit, he has all the qualities. He is God. All the qualities that Jesus had, all the qualities that the Father has. He's the voice. If you hear God's voice, you're hearing the Holy Spirit, because he's the voice of God on the earth. He was sent here on the day of Pentecost. The original Pentecost was when Moses got the Ten Commandments, even though he smashed the first ones. God sent him back up again. See, he's a God who helps us even when we make mistakes. He sent him back up, and he received the Ten Commandments again, which was the law, which went into the ark that he carried all through the wilderness. Anyway, I found this just a fascinating study. I was just enjoying. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So I'm going to pray for the peace of God over you. I have a picture in my foyer, and I have it over my keyboard in the back room, which is a picture of the glory flowing from heaven and falling into hands. And when I was experiencing that picture has more of like a gold dusty type of thing. This was a full river of oil. This was amazing. So I know that over the last few days, God has been doing something in my life. And one of the things he said to me, which I didn't totally understand, but I do because I've been through it so many times, he said, so you have to give something up in order to get something from me. So I've had to once again get on my knees before the Lord and give my whole life and my everything to him so that I could receive. And there's definitely I'm in a different place, and it's a good thing. It's a little scary, but anyway, it was a river. And God reminded me of those pictures when I was sitting in that room sobbing. I've been crying for days, and I've been crying probably since last October. Just so grateful to God, so grateful to God. And so I want to pray for your peace. Father, I thank you that I have come to this place on this day, and that you have been so faithful to me. I do publicly thank you for sending Joanna here today. That has encouraged me. I lift up each soul in this building that has come to hear the voice of the Lord, that's come to worship you and to praise you and stand together in unity, to pray for one another and to receive what you have poured out today. So I do pray that even as you poured out that anointing on me, that you would pour that anointing on each soul here, that the gift that you have for them, because they have come here today, I'm sure some of them struggled and they overcame and came. And yes, Lord, we have your authority because you are in us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All authority belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God. And we are your followers, Lord. So I do ask you that through that peace that passes understanding, through that anointing, that you would flood each soul today with what they need. What they need for the exact moment in their journey that they find themselves in. And I do proclaim and speak this even as the worship and the songs of praise are multiplied across the airwaves, Lord, that this word would also, those who are not with us today, Lord, would also receive your peace and the harmonic display of your glory right now. So I lift up each soul here that they would receive your peace. That your peace would descend and flood each soul and push out whatever nation is troubling them. There's a word in Romans 8 that says we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So, Lord, we cry out, Abba, Father, today in your presence. We cry out, Abba, Father, that we would not be held captive any longer. We cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, we receive your love today. We receive your love. As a tangible substance, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the substance, the essence, which is God.